You know, Zender, you know what I don't like about the weekends?
You don't get to see me.
I don't get to see you.
That was just a guess, but...
So how many people out there have kept their New Year's resolution so far? It's only been, what, this is day four?
Yeah.
Did you keep yours?
I learned a long time ago not to make them.
I didn't either. I got one, though, for everyone listening that they should make. Okay, well, and this is going to be where I can start encouraging right now. I got to say this because it's important. Because you and I are here because of a book. When it comes, right? We're here because of 66 writings put under one cover. That's why we're here. It's our only source of the knowledge of God. It doesn't come through dreams or eating bad pizza or taking in a bottle of vodka.
You sure?
Or jumping around in a trance on Sunday morning playing songs that repeat the chorus over and over again. We get our information about God from a book, and that's why we're adamant, because we have the source of truth right here in front of us. And this is my encouragement. We're only on January 4th, and let me just say this. If you call yourself a believer, quote, Christian, the source of your belief comes from a book. And so let me just say and encourage everyone here, if you don't want somebody to pull the wool over your eyes, you don't want to be deceived, what you need to start doing is actually believing the book that you claim to believe. And you cannot believe it without reading it. And here's an encouragement for 2010. Let alone the servant. A minister of the gospel should have this book stored up in their mind. They should be dwelling on this. But every believer... I'm sitting here, I'm holding in my hands. I have three of them in front of me. I have a King James Version. I have a Companion Bible, a Concordant Version. There was a time where people couldn't get a hold of the Scriptures. But now we have them. We can get them on a dime store counter. And so let me encourage every one of you out there, stop using the Bible like a dartboard, just picking a verse here and there. Every one of you listening to the sound of our voice, if these programs are going to really benefit you, you have to prove all things. And make it a habit. Start today. Start today. If you spend 15 minutes a day, even if you read slowly, you can get through the Bible in 1 year. And this is probably the greatest, you know, every revival in the Old Testament, in every reformation, in quotes, every reform that has taken place since then has been a return to the Scriptures. Martin Luther shook Europe not with a new idea. Martin Luther shook Europe with an old idea. Why was Europe in the Dark Ages? Because of forsaking the written Word of God. And I just want to read one quote from Luther, and we'll get to our topic today. Martin Luther says this, and I wrote this on the first page of my Bible. He says this, I hope, however, this was Martin's goal. I hope, not Martin Zender, Martin Luther. I hope, however, that I shall do enough if I uncover the purest and simplest sense of the gospel as well as I can, and if I answer some of those unskillful glosses, in order that the Christian people may hear, instead of fables and dreams, you hear that? Didn't Paul warn us about fables? That the Christian people may hear, instead of fables and dreams, the words of their God unadulterated by human filth. That's a great comment. Mm. I love that. And that's our goal. We want you to hear the words of our God unadulterated by human filth. That, and wherever that filth comes from, wherever source that filth comes from, whether it comes from your mommy or daddy, your pastor, or even us, that's why we say on this program, prove all things. Even what we say, we don't mind that people disagree with us. But if they come to us with Scripture, we're happy. If they don't, then they're really not disagreeing with us. You know, we get letters that are unfounded all the time. They have nothing to do with the Word of God. And they just don't like us or something like that. Never mind us and our personalities.
How can anybody not like us? I can't understand.
But that's
it.
Irrelevant. You and I are irrelevant. It's not you and I against the world. It's truth versus error. It's the Scriptures versus everything else. And we want to be faithful to the Word of God. And so we hope every one of you makes it a point right now, maybe not a resolution, but determine. That as a believer, your duty, I like to use the word duty because a Christian's only source of information is the Word of God. Become Bible readers. Don't let your pastors and your theologians do it for you. That's all I have to say.
Speaking of filth, though, some of the filth comes from books that have the words Holy Bible on the cover.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm getting the translation. I agree that we should read the Word, and your encouragement is right on the money. But I contend that if you're not reading Scripture that has been translated correctly, or for instance, you're reading The Message or the Living Bible, you're almost, I will say something daring and bold. Tell me if I'm going too far. I think you're better off not reading anything. I think you're better off reading People magazine than to read the Living Bible. I would even go so far as to say the New International Version, which I call the New Inconsistent Version.
No, terrible.
Some of them, and I'm telling you, it's better to get no idea of God than to get a wrong idea of God. So I would just like to add that P.S.
Your
exhortation.
I would say the NIV is the New Idiot's Version.
Okay. Well, listen,
the reason you have all these Bible translations today is the money. You know, there's been more in the last 100 years, there's been about a Bible released every 8 months.
Why is that?
Not because of truth, because it's a marketing thing.
Of course.
It's a marketing thing. There is no need for very many of these things. And look where we're at today when it comes to the knowledge of the Word of God. We are in the most ignorant age when it comes to the Scriptures, yet we have churches and thousands
of
Bible translations.
How can that be if a new Bible comes out every 8 months?
Yeah. Well.
Have you ever read the introductory notes to the New International Version?
Yeah.
This version, I wish I had it here, I'd read it, but it's been submitted to experts, and it's gone through the slew of linguistic experts that have tested it for readability, and if it was ununderstandable, they would give it to people of all education and all social strata. In other words, we give it to a college graduate, and we give it to an eighth grade dropout.
Yeah.
If the eighth grade dropout doesn't get it, we'll go take it back to the drawing board and we'll dumb it down so the eighth grade dropout can get it. We should be attaining to God's words, not dragging God's words
down
to us.
Here's a good study, and I don't know if I've ever told you this before. And as much as, you know, the King James, at least with the King James, the King James is really, we have to go back to William Tyndale, okay? And if you listen to what they said in their preface, their original preface.
I know, right.
Compare it to what a modern version says. It's all about scholarship in the modern version.
Yeah.
And when you read in the original preface of the King James, see, what did Tyndale want? Tyndale wanted what Luther wanted. He wanted to get the Word of God into the hands of the common man. Read Bullinger's Introduction to the Companion Bible. I want to get the Word of God into the common man. Read Concordant Version's writing at the beginning. They felt that they were handling the living words of the living God, and their goal was to put it into the hands of the common man. All these other versions are about money and scholarship, and I would say pseudo-scholarship.
Yeah, they try to make scholarship the reason why you should get their Bible, because this guy has a PhD, this guy has three other letters after his name besides PhD, and... Piled high and deep, PhD, that's right. We should mention at this time the concordant literal New Testament, because if you're gonna spend 15 minutes a day reading the Scriptures, you might as well, as long as you're gonna do this, you might as well read what God said. I don't know how many arguments I've had with people that they're not even arguing over God's words; they're arguing over mistranslations. We have to start on what God said. Now we know that the original Scriptures don't exist by the wisdom of God for some reason. As I always say, I think they're going to show up someday at a garage sale in Schenectady, New York, or somebody's going to find the original Book of Romans. Until that time, we need to find the most accurate translation that actually has a system and a method of translation. And the Concordant Version does that, because the compiler of the Concordant Version, A.E. Nock, who started the work back in 1909, he didn't say, you need to read this because I am a scholar with a degree. He says, this translation has a system. It has a method of translation. It's not helter-skelter. It takes one English word for every Greek word and does not use that English word for any other Greek word. I'm telling you, this is what I want you to do. That was Sheridan's exhortation for you here on January the 4th. My exhortation is go to www.concordant.org.
No, we got it ourselves.
And
we got it now.
We have it now.
We have
do not go to concordant.org.
Yeah, you won't get it very
well. You won't get it in a
go to
crossandthrone.com
and go to the bookstore, which our brother Clyde handles for us. and you will get it post-haste. And by the way, if you go to the bookstore at crossandthrone.com, not only can you get a concordant version, the problem, though, you can only get the New Testament in the concordant version right now. That's all you can get. We're going to get on getting the Old Testament for you soon. But you're going to get a copy of the New Testament, and you got to get a copy of the Companion Bible, which has all the corrections in the margins. And yeah, I think you knew this, Marge. You know the Companion Bible is the father of the Concordant Version. You are aware of that, aren't you?
No.
Yes.
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
A. Enoch originally went to Bullinger to do that.
Well, he wanted him to do it.
But Bullinger said, I'm a little too old, Mr. Enoch. You're going to have to do it. And you'll find a lot of the corrections are in the margin, but it's these two tools, and I've been saying this for years, if you have a Concordant Version and a Companion Bible...
And a dark chocolate Hershey bar.
And a dark chocolate Hershey bar, a cup of coffee, it's heaven. It's heaven. You are studying God, which is beautiful.
And you know what's in the New Testament? 13 letters written by the Apostle Paul.
Who's he?
Actually, I know, this guy, listen, somebody saved his writing. God himself spoke to this man. Okay, this guy used to be Saul, Dan. I don't know if you realize this.
Saul.
He was some crazy Pharisee.
Saul.
Yeah, and he was out to kill Christians way back, I don't know what year it was, maybe, 40 whatever AD. And the risen Jesus, the risen Christ, appeared to him, a glory brighter than the noonday sun, and he told him secrets that no one had ever heard before, and he wrote about it in letters. Wouldn't you love to have those letters?
I do have them.
All 13 of them.
I have a book here.
Are in the Concordant Literal New Testament.
It says Concordant Literal New
and
Testament.
And it's literal, folks.
The Apostle Paul.
The Apostle Paul, that's what I'm telling you. Now, it might be hard for you at first to read a literal translation. So what? Work at it. You're better off reading what God said instead of just reading like a comic book version of the scriptures, like the Message.
Well, here's the thing they always say. Well, we need it in the language of the common man. And they always say, well, that's what King James and these guys did. No. They did not translate in the street language. They translated it so it would make sense. They translated faithful to the text. Do you get what I'm saying? People always say, it's got to speak to me. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It's got to say what God says.
Exactly right.
And what you think about it is irrelevant. People are always saying, they want the church of
I
your...
I want it to speak to me,
pick
Dan.
Pick the church that suits you. And Moody put out this thing, pick the Bible translation that suits you.
Oh.
That's humanistic slop.
That. That's ridiculous.
Humanistic slop.
That's outrageous.
You are to love what God loves. You are to hate what God hates. You want what God wants,
that's
not
right.
What you decide. You're not God. He is.
I want pretty words.
That's right.
I want pretty words. I want alliteration. And
let's get into God's will, not man doing what is right in his own eyes. And that's what we want. What God says is important, not what we think.
As long as it alliterates once in a while. Can I just have a little poetic, can't they just, compromise so it sounds good?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Any questions, you can give me a call. This is Dan, 847-312-4676. And you go to the website, crossandthrone.com, and go to the bookstore there and get a copy of the Concordant Version and the Companion Bible.
I'm Martin Zender. I will never give my phone number out on the air. Don't take it personally.
And here's his number.